Good morning.
We're so glad to have all these visitors with us today. I preach out of the English Standard Version most of the time, and we have what I call the Word on the Wall, where you can follow right along. If you have your Bibles and you want to read out of your Bible, we'll be in Genesis 45, 1 through 8, and then chapter 50, 15 through 21. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Pardon me. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will neither be plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve to you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt." And now in Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of God, of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Father, I thank you for the witness of your word. I thank you for the effectiveness of your word, because you said, "As the snow and the rain that you send to water the earth does not return to you, neither does your word return to you without accomplishing what you sent it out to do." Anoint me to preach this morning. I ask that I would decrease, that you might increase. Lord, open all the hearts here to your word. I pray that people will be encouraged. If there are any here today who do not know you, who've never came to you, Lord, and asked you to save them from their sins, then I ask that today would be the day of salvation. And we'll give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Very familiar story. I want to spend the next couple weeks talking about people out of the Old Testament, saints of God who in the world's eyes weren't great people, but God accomplished great things through them. I entitled this Joseph the Dreamer Who Wouldn't Quit. Joseph was the son of his father's old age, Jacob. It said Jacob loved him more than all of his sons, and you know, of course, that causes problems in the family. And his brothers hated him for that. They were jealous. They knew their father loved Joseph. And Jacob had made him a coat of many colors, a very famous coat. If you ever attended Sunday school as a child, you probably heard the story of the coat of many colors. Joseph was a daddy's boy, in a way. It said he brought his dad a bad report of his brothers. His brothers weren't the most moral people that existed. They weren't the most trustworthy. he had sent Joseph out to see what they were doing, and Joseph came back and brought a bad report, so they hated him worse. It said Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers. He said, "We were binding sheaves in a field, and my sheaf stood up, and your sheaf all bowed down to it." Well, said, boy, then they really hated him for that. They understood that Joseph's dream was saying that one day they were going to bow at Joseph's feet. Then Joseph told another dream that he had to his dad and his brothers. And he said, "I dreamed that the sun, the moon, and the stars came and bowed down before me." And Jacob rebuked him. He said, "Well, I and your mother actually bow down before you." But it said Jacob kept that in his heart. Jacob had dealt with God. Jacob knew that nothing was impossible with God. So Jacob kind of stored that up and said, "Well, you can't tell." He says that Joseph had a definite call from God. That's what first thing I want to talk about. God gave Joseph those dreams for a reason. And Joseph knew that God had a definite call on his life and a definite purpose for his life. And that's why he gave him those dreams. Joseph didn't know what it was. All he knew is that God was calling him to some specific purpose. Well, his brothers one day were supposed to be in Shechem watching the sheep. And Jacob sent them in there and said, "I want you to go see what they're doing and come back and tell me. How are they?" And he got there and they weren't there. Shechem, if you remember, was the parcel of ground that Jacob later would give to Joseph, where Jesus sat at the well of Samaria and talked to the Samaritan woman. Evidently, they didn't like it there because Joseph was wandering around looking for him. A man said, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "My brothers and the sheep." And he said, "Oh, they're in Dothan, a little town farther away from there." And when Joseph was approaching them, this is terrible for siblings to think this way, but they said, "Here comes the dreamer." The Bible says they couldn't even speak peaceably to him. Well, what a strain that put on family relationship. How'd you like to be at the table with 12 kids and 11 of them not liking one of them, and it's just obvious the way they speak to him or don't speak to him? There were strained relationships. And I know Jacob loved his other sons. He just favored Joseph. But the rest of the kids weren't very happy about that. And they saw him and they said, "Here comes the dreamer." And Judah said, "Let's kill him and see what happens to his dreams." How many of you know that was the devil speaking? Yeah, because Satan knew that God had a purpose for Joseph and he's always interfering. And Judah must have been the one most receptive. And Judah gets this bright idea, "Well, let's kill him. Then we'll see what happens to his dreams." So his brothers understood that Joseph had a purpose. And they didn't like the purpose. You know, "I'm not going to come and worship at my baby brother's feet." That just torqued their jaws. Well, Reuben stepped in and said, "No, don't kill him. Just throw him in this waterless pit." And it said they threw him in there and sat down to eat lunch. That's kind of cold-blooded to me. Out in the desert, they throw him in a pit. And they sit down to eat. And I can imagine Joseph was pleading with them and begging them, "Let me out of this hole. You know, get me out of here. I won't tell Dad. I won't tell him what happened. Just, you know, get me up out of this hole. I don't like it down here. It's dark." You know, in that area they had some pretty dangerous scorpions and cobras and things like that. Might have been in that pit with him. But his brothers, at that moment, felt like they had the upper hand. "Yeah, big dreamer, now what? We've cast you into a pit. Now what's going to happen to your dreams? Who's going to worship who? Who's begging who? Who's pleading for whose favor now?" And they're enjoying this. And instead they look up and see a caravan of Ishmaelites heading to Egypt. And I think it was Judah again said, "Hey, I got an idea. Let's sell him. You see, if we sell him as a slave, and if anything happens to him, it's not really on us. Let the Egyptians kill him, or let the Ishmaelites kill him." Some slaves were sold into the arenas to do battle. Joseph might have got picked for that. Chance to pick up a couple shekels. So said they pulled him out of the hole and sold him for 20 shekels of silver. That comes out to almost 2 shekels apiece. I don't know how much a shekel was worth. Adam Clark said in their currency, it would have been 3 pounds. I don't know how much 3 British pounds are worth right now, but they sold him for a price of a slave. The Bible says in Psalms that they hurt Joseph's feet with the iron fetters. They put him in chains and they took him to Egypt. Now, I got to be wondering if Joseph isn't at this time wondering, God, is this your purpose? You called me for a purpose. Is it to be a slave? I don't think so. How does this fit in with your plan? Do you go through things? Have you went through things that you say, God, how can this glorify you, what I'm going through? How can this pain give you glory? How can this suffering bring you glory? You know, I thought when I decided to follow you that everything was going to work out for the best. That preacher said, in all things, God works toward the good of those who love him, but it doesn't say in all good things God works. That's the way we hear it. You got these gurus on TV telling a lot of people, hey, you get saved, man. If you have any problems, it's just lack of faith on your part, and you just got to make this positive confession, and when you do, good things are going to happen. And here's this young man who is a godly young man. And he's got to be thinking, what happened? I thought God had this purpose for me. Now I've lost my freedom. I'm a slave. Pardon me. I like what it says when Joseph got to Egypt. He was sold to a man named Potiphar, a captain of Pharaoh's guard. And the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he had to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Is this your purpose for me, God? I'm the chief slave? Now, did you catch that? It said the Lord was with Joseph. At times like these, we begin to question God, where are you? I do anyway. I've been through some terrible trials as a Christian. And I think, God, where are you at? And if he chose to reveal himself, I imagine he would say, I'm right here. Well, I don't feel you. Boy, I hear that. I felt the Lord. Well, how do you know the Lord? Well, because I felt good. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the Lord. You ever been chastised by the Lord? Boy, you can feel that too. You get a Holy Ghost whipping. It took that spiritual woodshed. But here's the truth. Joseph is thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, heading to Egypt, but the Lord was with him. Why? Because the Lord had a purpose for his life. Yeah. And it said he found favor in Potiphar's eyes. Joseph, I think, decided, well, since I'm a slave, I'm going to be the best darn slave this guy ever had. And Potiphar watched that young man, and he said, God blesses that guy. And everything he puts his hand to is blessed. So Potiphar is pretty discerning, and he said, I'm going to put him in charge of all my house. And it said Potiphar didn't worry about anything, not even the food that he ate. It was all in Joseph's care. Now, that's pretty good, but he's still a slave. He doesn't get to make his own decisions. Everything he does is for the master. He can't come and go as he pleases. He's a slave. He's bought and paid for. And I can't help but wonder if Joseph's thinking, God, is this why you brought me to Egypt? You know, if it is, if this is your will for my life, then let your will be done. That's what I see Joseph doing. How did Joseph learn about God? Through Jacob. I think Jacob told all his boys the story of when he cheated Esau and ran over to his brother-in-law's and spent 20 years there getting payback. And how God had delivered him. Joseph had a faith. He had an integrity that a lot of Christians today don't have. And he wasn't a Christian. The law of Moses wasn't even given yet. And yet Joseph had this resigned within himself that if this is what God, where God has placed me, I'm going to bloom right here. Now, the scriptures say that his master's wife began to lust after Joseph. I found it interesting. I was reading one of the scholars, and they said some of the Persian poets wrote poems about this. They said Joseph was a very beautiful man. Beautiful. I don't know if I'd like being called beautiful as a guy, but, you know. But said that Potiphar's wife, in the poem, said Potiphar's wife was very virtuous until she looked at Joseph. Then it said she threw her virtue and everything else right out the window and decided, I want that boy. And it says daily she would tempt him, come lie with me. Daily. Every day. Day in and day out. And you know this young man, that was putting a strain on him. And it says Joseph would say, no. No, I'm not going to do that. Joseph brought up 2 points. When Mrs. Potiphar finally cornered him in the house and kind of said, come lie with me. Do this. You're a slave. You do as I tell you. Joseph showed gratitude to his master. He said, my master's put everything under my charge except you. And then he shows his fear of God. He said, I can't sin against my God like this. And then he ran. I like that. I like to tell young men to have that Joseph mentality. Guys, there are times you don't stand your ground and fight temptation. You turn around and you book. We say book. I want what you say now. Put it in beef or boogie and split. You leave. You get away. You remove yourself from that temptation. There's sometimes in temptation you stand your ground. But there's times like these you don't play the fool. Joseph knew this is getting out of hand and I got to get out of here, and he left. Now, she realizes that she's got some explaining to do because she had grabbed him by the outer robe, and when he ran, he left it in her hand. She says, oh boy, I got to explain this. So she tells the other servants, he came in here to mock me, to rape me. And when I cried out for help, he left. And you know who she blamed? Her husband. It's all my husband's fault. He brought that Hebrew slave in here to mock me. That's terrible. Of course, when he got home and she told him, he was enraged. I trusted this guy with everything in my house, and this is how he repaid me. It says he threw him in the prison, and Dr. Clark said, literally, the roundhouse. The Egyptian prison was a round room. And it was a dungeon. It was dark and it was dank and it was nasty. And the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. It's estimated that Joseph was 16 or 17 when he was sold. So this isn't just a little while. This is years. All of a sudden, Joseph has been elevated to the place of a head servant in a prestigious man's house. Now he goes to a prisoner in the king's prison. But it says the Lord was with Joseph and caused him to find favor in the warden's eyes. They call him trustees. So the warden said, Joseph, you're in charge of this prison. You're going to allocate the food. You're going to take care of all the administrative duties. Can you imagine the integrity that man had that warden could look at that guy and say, this inmate's different. I can trust him. You know why? Because Joseph didn't quit being Joseph just because certain people were watching. Joseph held on to his integrity. Well, Lord, now I'm in prison. Is this your will that I be in prison? How are you going to get glory from this? That's what most of us would say today. Jesus said that there are many reasons people follow him. And he said sometimes they will fall away. Why? Because they're disappointed. This isn't what I paid for. This is not what I got into this Christianity for. I thought Jesus was supposed to give me a 2-car garage with a Mercedes and both stall and perfect health and money in the bank. And so far you ain't getting nothing but hard times, Jesus. My goodness. That preacher said I'd never lack for anything. Well, he lied to you. And he wanted you to send the tithe to his ministry. So Paul called them peddlers of God's word. One translation of the Greek says, like card sharks, they can manipulate the deck and deal you the hand they want you to have. Of course, they'll always have the upper hand. And here Joseph is, this young man been sold into slavery, falsely accused of rape. Now he's in prison. And I can't help but wonder if he isn't thinking, God, what are you doing? I thought you had a purpose for my life. Where's the people bound to me? I'm a slave. And now I'm worse than a slave. I'm an inmate slave. But the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Right there in that prison cell. Joseph acknowledged God in all of his ways. God has promised that God will direct our steps if we do that. You see what are you getting at? Joseph never lost sight of who God was. And he acknowledged God in everything he did. He didn't cheat Potiphar. He didn't try to seduce Potiphar's wife. He said, that'd be a gross sin against my God and against my master. He honored God, and God ordered his steps. But to prison? God? You know, those preachers, they say, well, God wouldn't do that to you. God wouldn't tell you to leave her. God wouldn't tell you not to marry him. God doesn't do that. He's ordering my steps. I went from being a slave to an inmate. Lord, I'm going down. I'm supposed to go up. You know, if I'm following you, I'm supposed to just keep being elevated. But what does the scripture say? Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and in due time, he will lift you up. Due time, when is due time? God's time. He's not on our time clock, church. Do you know that God invented time for us? He created time for us because we're finite, and we are bound by time. It's estimated that Joseph spent 13 years as a slave, several of those years in the Egyptian penitentiary. But he believed that God had a call for his life. Don't you know what the accuser of the brethren was doing about that time? Boy, what a fool you are. Look at you, boy. You just went from bad to worse. Where's your God? Maybe some of the inmates in that prison kind of scoffed at Joseph, because I think he talked about his God, and they said, your God's no different than my God. Look where we're at. Why don't you just quit? I must have been mistaken in those dreams. I must have misinterpreted them. Why don't I just resolve myself to this is God's call in my life. I'm going to have a prison ministry. Joseph thought, well, I can have a prison ministry. He never lost sight of who his God was, and he never stopped honoring him. And Jesus said, there will be people who will get offended at me, and they'll walk away from me, from a relationship with me, when persecution or trials come. How many of you know this is a big trial? Well, why does God allow these trials? He said very plainly, so you can see what's in you, so I can mold you into the image of the person I want you to be. Yeah, but God, you don't have to send me to prison. Well, he did Joseph. But he was with him. I love that. The Lord was with Joseph. Nowhere in Joseph's tenure as a slave and a prison inmate does it ever say the Lord left him. But the Lord was right there with him. Well, you know the story. Two of the inmates had dreams. One was Pharaoh's baker. One was his butler. And Joseph, the next morning, he goes in and he's serving breakfast. And they said, he looks at him and he goes, why are you guys so depressed? Look where we're at. You know, pretty good reason to be depressed. But they said they were distressed. And they said, well, we've had dreams and nobody in here can interpret them. What Joseph said, tell me the dreams. I'm good at dream interpreting. And Joseph might say, well, I ain't got that good of a track record myself, guys. I really thought God was going to use me, and here I am. That's not what he does. Joseph said, interpretations belong to God, my God. So tell me your dreams. The butler said, I dreamed there was a grape vine before me, and it bloomed, and then the grapes came on, and I squeezed the grape juice into the cup, and I handed it to Pharaoh. So there were three branches. And Joseph said, the branches are days. In 3 days, Herod will lift your head up and restore you. And the baker goes, cool! Here's my dream. I had all these breads in a basket, and I had them on my head, and the birds were eating out of them. And Joseph said, in 3 days, he's going to lift your head up off of you and feed you to the birds. Then he looked at the baker and he said, when God restores you, do me a favor and tell Pharaoh that I'm here. This isn't cool, guys. I'm not supposed to be here. I got a letter the other day from an inmate at the penitentiary, and he said, dear pastor, I'm innocent, but I've been here 4 years. And I almost rolled back and said, everybody's innocent, Hoss. Why do you think you're any different than anyone else? But I didn't. Joseph says, mention me to Pharaoh. Get me out of this terrible place. He didn't want to be there. But he didn't quit serving his God even while he was there. Well, said 3 days later, Pharaoh had a birthday. He brought his butler out. He forgave him whatever the offense was and restored him. And the baker, he hanged him. Let the birds eat his flesh. The butler, finally, one day, Pharaoh has a dream. The butler said, man, I remember my sins. 2 years later. 2 years, Joseph's sitting there in prison. Going, is that butler ever going to talk to Pharaoh? Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler goes, man, I remember my sin now. Chief, he said, there's a Hebrew guy in that prison. He can interpret dreams. So Pharaoh brings him out and he interprets the dream. Pharaoh said, Joseph said, there's coming 7 years of famine. There'll be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And he said, Pharaoh, you need to be saving food up through the good years so you won't die. You'll have food to eat. And Pharaoh said, well, there's nobody like this kid. The spirit of the gods is in him. That's literally what the Hebrew says. The spirit of God's in this young man. So he made him second ruler in all of Egypt. Then Joseph starts singing. Oh, that's quite an elevation, don't you think? From inmate slave to the second in command over the whole land of Egypt. And Pharaoh trusted his judgment so much, he told the people, you ask Joseph what he wants to do. Pharaoh said, only in the throne will I be greater than you. And it said he gave him his second chariot. And everywhere Joseph went, somebody ran in front of him saying, bow the knee! I think Joseph's going, yeah, this is more like God's will. You know, hey, it's a change. Where we come in this morning, his brothers have been coming in buying grain, and they don't recognize Joseph. He looks like an Egyptian now. He speaks Egyptian. He used an interpreter to speak Hebrew with them, but Joseph understands everything they say. And he starts hearing some remorse in his brother's voice. He starts playing head games with them. I don't blame him. But he starts hearing them talking to one another, and Reuben saying, didn't I tell you not to hurt Joseph? He said, now God's bringing all this on us. Said Joseph turned and wept. A godly person loves repentance. Well, some do. You know, Jesus said when a sinner comes to him and is saved, all the angels in heaven rejoice. We sit in church and go, yeah, amen. Help, I got a roast in the oven, dude. Got to split. Where's that passion? Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers. And they're freaking out. That's my generation. They're freaking out. Oh, no. And they come and bow before him. If I'd have been Joseph, I'd have said, ha, remember the dream? But he doesn't. He says, go get the rest of the family and bring them up here because there's still 5 years of drought and famine, and I'll take care of you. Guess what Jacob does when he first meets Joseph? He falls on his neck and weeps, but there's another time he bows. Second dream fulfilled. Joseph tells his brothers, you're not the ones who sent me here. He takes that away from them. The whole time, guys, you thought you were in control, but it wasn't you. God sent me here. Now, he used the actions of his brothers, but Joseph was able to look back and say, wow, now I can see God's plan for my life. And he never insisted on back pay or anything else to God and said, I wasn't fair. 13 years I've been a slave. He doesn't do that. He glorifies God because he said, God is the one who sent me here to keep you guys alive. And he wouldn't quit. He didn't quit when he was a slave in Potiphar's house. He didn't give up when he was in prison. And he didn't get too big for his britches when Pharaoh made him second in command of all of Egypt. Joseph gave the glory to God. Christian, whatever trial you may be in right now, don't quit. Wait and see how it turns out. Because God's got a plan for your life. Yeah. One more point I want to make and then we're done. I get asked a lot about forgiveness as a minister. And how hard it is. And it is hard to forgive people sometimes. But I saw a beautiful story of forgiveness. And Joseph showed a spirit of compassion to these guys that wronged him. He acknowledged that what they did to him was wrong. I don't know how many times people say, I ain't going to tell them everything's okay. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're supposed to do that. Jesus said, if you remember your brother has something against you, and you brought a gift to the altar, leave your gift there and go be reconciled to your brother. How are you going to do that? You got to be honest. If you're the offender, don't try to pretty it up. Don't try to make it less offensive by saying, well, I made a mistake. I've made some mistakes. Joseph's brothers came to him, and I don't know that this happened the way they are, and they said, our father said to ask you to forgive us for the evil. So then they bowed to him, and Joseph wept. But he didn't okay what they did. See what I'm getting at? He said, you did do evil. When God tells you to forgive somebody, he's not telling you to slough it off. And how often I've heard people go, well, I guess it's all right. You just justified what they did to you. You just said, go ahead and do it again. It's okay. I understand. Joseph didn't let him off the hook. He said, what you guys did to me was evil. But he had the power as second in Egypt. He could have had his brothers put to death or put in prison for the rest of their lives. But he didn't. So when you forgive somebody for the wrong that's been done to you, you do not have to okay what they've done. It is okay for you to say to that person, yes, you hurt me. And if they're truly repentant, they're going to acknowledge that. And if they won't acknowledge that, Jesus said, treat them like a publican. Have nothing to do with them. That don't sound very Christ-like. Christ said it, I didn't. Joseph told his brothers, what you did was evil. But he also acknowledged to them that God sent me here. I may not have been too fond of the way he did it, but he sent me here to save lives. So he acknowledged God. And he also said, am I God? Please forgive us. Am I God? You know what Joseph was saying? I'm not in a position not to forgive you. What did Jesus say? If your brother sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times says, I repent, you are to forgive him. And then he went on to say, if you don't forgive people of their sins against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. But God is hard. Nowhere have I read where God said, it's easy to forgive. You know, you just forget. That's not what he says. Yeah, they hurt you. Yes, they did you wrong. Maybe what they did has affected you for your whole life. It has followed you your whole life, but what you've done is you've allowed this person to control you all through your life. Every time you think about him, you get enraged. You think unclean thoughts. Joseph said to his brothers, am I God? I'm not God. Yes, you did me wrong. But he said God had a purpose for it. So you guys kind of played into his plans. That's what he's saying. You played into his plans. It was his plan to send me here. And then it said he forgave them. And he comforted them and he spoke kindly to them. Don't you know those boys were shaking in their shoes? When they're down there bowing at their brother's feet saying, we're your slaves for life, man. We know what we deserve. So Joseph comforted them and said, no, I'm going to take care of you and your little ones. That's a beautiful story to me of reconciliation. It's honest, it's open, and it's finished. I don't think for the rest of their lives Joseph ever one time brought up, you remember when you guys sold me the Ishmaelites? I don't think he ever brought it up again. Because I think Joseph had settled it in his own heart. This was God's doing. You guys were just puppets. be sailing this morning. I want you to think right now, most of you are thinking of someone who's wronged you, and you hear this message and you say, I can't forgive. You can. The question is, will you forgive? Or maybe you've wronged somebody. There was a period in my life where the Lord began to remind me of people that I had hurt and sinned against. And I either went to them in person and asked for their forgiveness, or I wrote letters to them. And that, there was nothing easy about that, saying to people, I was wrong, I hurt you, I sinned against you. But I had a peace because I did what God told me to do. If you're here this morning and there's somebody you just say, I can't forgive, change that to won't, and then you're going to be on the right path. Ask God to reveal to you if there's some sin in your life that you haven't confessed, somebody you've hurt. Because until you do, you won't have any peace. I don't care how many times you come to church, how many times you volunteer. When you have hidden sin in your life, the Bible says you will not prosper. God cannot allow you to go further or grow further until you deal with that. And if there's somebody in your life that's hurt you, right now, while you're in here, you need to try to settle that with God and say, I'm going to forgive by your grace, by your helping me, I'm going to forgive this person. And it doesn't mean that you justify whatever it was they did to you. It just means that you say, okay, this was wrong, but I'm forgiving it. Because I am not God. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ, I'll ask you today to come forward and call out on his name, because he said whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Would you come as we sing our hymn of invitation, please?
Just as I am without one plea, but as thy blood
Thursday, and ask that you would pray for the Bowles family. Earlier she'd asked us to pray for him, but he is passed now, so if you remember the Bowles family in your prayer, losing this loved one. Are there any other requests you want to bring to the body before we close?
Please remember Trinity. She goes in Friday to have a conference.
Okay. Your granddaughter Trinity.
Yes.
I'll be praying for Mark. Okay. Now she had an amputation, so they're doing therapy to get her back active and help her get her up walking again. So be praying for that.
My neighbor's daughter had a baby, and there's some problems during delivery, so the baby's still in the hospital.
Okay.
I'll just be with them.
Anything else? All right. Well, I'm going to ask Doc to close us in prayer then.
Lord, we just thank you today for the beautiful weather that you sent us. Father, and we just thank you for the moisture, too, that you've given us. And Lord, today we just want to remember all those that fought the battle of life. All those soldiers and the ladies that was in this war. Father, we just thank you so much for that, that we have a freedom that a lot of people don't have. And Father, today we just thank you again for the eternal love that you give each and every one of us. Be with us this week, Lord, as we go about our chores that we know is necessary. And Father, just thank you so much for the blessings that you give each and every one of us. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
What a mighty God we have.